Followers Podcast, Derek Kramer.
Frank Arcuri.
And yes, you're looking at me because why did I say it that way? Oh, because I'm trying to find this massive L and give it to the Jets.
Okay.
There you go.
Okay.
Wow. That was a doozy of a game.
4 out of 10.
I don't care what your score was. It was better than the Jets.
Yeah, it was.
What a pathetic performance by New York. Hey, your coach is in danger of getting fired. Okay. We're just going to go ahead and lose by 31.
To the Bills.
And let an offensive lineman catch a touchdown for good measure.
Deion Dawkins caught a touchdown. I think the impressive part of it was that it's a 7-yard touchdown. It wasn't like one of those 1-yard ones where you just float it.
It was like, the same play design. It just, they had more room and they're like, hey, you know what? Why not?
Yeah.
And you know what? There's something about that play that makes me think something.
Hmm. What's that?
I can't wait to see what Brian Daboll can do with actual players.
Yeah. Yeah.
And a fully competent offensive line.
Which seems to be putting itself together.
There's already one spot that's been taken care of. Here's the thing. There's a combination with that offensive line that had probably its best day of the season. Yeah. 212 yards rushing, only one sack allowed, and not much pressure otherwise. This is what basic competency on an offense with that team can do for you.
Yeah.
They didn't have to be good. They just had to be competent. And then the wheels came off on the Jets, and it's just like, okay, we're going to drop a 40-burger. Why not? The offensive line still has work to do, but one thing was fixed. Wyatt Teller was put in, and he showed that he's not necessarily a developmental prospect.
Yeah.
And if he hits, that's a huge late rounder for your offense.
And if he, and as long as he...
And it also does one little chip to the narrative of, oh, Beanie McDermott can't give you offensive players. Well, they found one in the fifth round there in Wyatt Teller.
Yeah.
Not bad. Zay Jones looks like he's coming into his own.
Yeah.
Deion Dawkins. Already steady.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe they can. It's just they haven't.
So they haven't done it enough.
They haven't done it enough. And what I respect about this team, though, is that they still try to go best player available.
Yeah.
Yes, they traded up to the top 10 to get a quarterback. Maybe that's where things will go wrong. Because when you draft off of necessity, things often blow up in your face. When you draft a best player available, things tend to do well. Wyatt Teller, Taron Johnson, Deion Dawkins, Zay Jones. Matt Milano.
Yeah.
That's what you can do when you draft best player available.
Yeah.
You can just go get a guy.
Yep.
And you could put them onto your roster and they can make a contribution or more. In Milano's case in particular. Of course, nobody saw this coming with Matt Barkley, of all players.
I know, right?
Like, because up until Friday, it was even said publicly that McDermott said, if Allen and Anderson cannot go, it will be Nathan Peterman, and everyone was dreading it for the third time.
Of course.
Instead, we get a 180. I'm guessing Peterman did something in practice that McDermott was just like, he's broken. We can't do anything with this guy anymore.
Maybe they find it was sudden realization.
I think
maybe an angel came down from the heavens and said, "Don't start Peterman."
This is the Bills. It was a devil that came from hell.
Yes, but it's the angel that said, "Don't do it."
No.
The devil says, "Start him."
No, the devil came up from hell and said, "Dude, I have had enough." It's like, dude, this is too easy. Can you not start Peterman this time? Can you go instead of the worst interception rate adjusted for era to the second worst? And that gap, by the way, on that advanced metric is large. Like, Barkley was the worst before that with era adjusted interception percentage.
Mm-hmm.
But Peterman blew it out of the water.
Yeah.
Now, there's still a lot of work to do with that offense, but you saw basic competency. And now you're seeing an expectation. And it's this. For the love of God, Josh Allen, please give me something like that this year. I need it. Because I need to have hope that this future is going to be secure.
Right.
I need to have hope that this isn't a Kelly Holcomb, J.P. Lawsman problem.
Yeah, yeah,
we call it Matt Barkley, Josh Allen. It was funny. We all came into this day, and Joe and I had said it when we did the first pregame.
Mm-hmm.
This is the Matt Barkley game, because how often is Matt Barkley going to start for you? Nobody will ever forget the Matt Barkley game.
Yeah.
Because one, how often is Matt Barkley going to start for you? And two, most importantly, what the hell was that? Good for him.
Yeah. That was what I said.
The man straight up earned a backup spot on this team.
Likely, yeah.
No, he did.
Yeah.
When they went ahead and turned to him as the starter before he even played and played well, that already told you he's going to be a backup on this team for the rest of the year. If they went 12 days in and said, okay, we're comfortable with Matt Barkley.
Yeah.
That tells you that he's already going to be your backup at best. And then when they decide to start him, that's it. That's the decision. Then he did that.
So does the inevitable finally happen now?
We'll talk about that in a bit.
Okay.
Because I want to talk about what the hell that performance was from Barkley. It needs more recognition. Here I was thinking a week ago, I'm not going to try to talk about the Bills. I'm not trying to overreact to this either. Because I've just said, there's a lot of work still to do. You still need a number one receiver, and we'll get to that in a second. Matt Barkley showed all sorts of arm strength and arm talent and quick release and decision making that comes with someone that didn't have to have the whole playbook learned.
He just got the ball out on time. He made the right decisions, and he had the aggressive moments. You saw like the first play of the game to Robert Foster, which, by the way, good for him.
Great play calling, too.
Yeah.
And good for Foster, yeah, because Foster's had a hard time reeling in the deep ball.
Mm-hmm.
And what's he do? First play, reels that one in from Barkley, and he gets another one for good measure.
Yeah.
And he dislocated a finger.
Hmm.
They popped that thing back in, and he got over 100 yards.
Yeah.
Random the last 200-yard receivers for the Bills. Dante Thompson and Robert Foster. Not necessarily what I'd call household names.
Yeah. But you have those deep ball. You have some of the deep balls who you take a chance when you take advantage of, especially a tired defense. Because look at the time of possession.
Yeah, it was bad.
It was nearly double.
It was nearly double for the Bills-Bears game, but we all know how well that went.
Yeah.
Which, speaking of, you go ahead and flip yourself a 41-9, and then go win it 41-10.
But they're able to maintain the offense on the field with Barkley, and it was a lot of it was just simple plays
and a running game.
Yeah, Frank. And you're able to establish, like, that's what I mean. Like, you're able to establish the run game. And it opened up the deep ball for when you needed it.
It was almost everything was right for this game.
Yeah.
Like, Barkley had a couple that should have been picked. That tells you how well the ball rolled for the Bills that game. There were a couple that should have been picked. But they weren't.
Yeah.
Bills came up. Bills should have had like 5 interceptions on Josh McCown. I was half right about that game. I knew the Jets were going to struggle.
Yeah.
Because McCown hadn't played. He didn't even play in the preseason.
No, he didn't.
Barkley at least got some time with Cincy. Then he had to suffer a shoulder injury that kept him out until now.
Mm-hmm. Now.
But McCown got no work in, really. And I thought the same thing because I was like, this is a Derek Anderson situation. Anderson hasn't played all of this year. The dude's been more hitting golf on the links. McCown, the only thing he's been doing different is suiting up every week in case of an injury. But McCown got less work in throughout the course of the year than even Derek Anderson. So I knew he was going to be rusty.
Yeah.
And I knew the Bills' defense was going to take advantage. I did not expect Matt Barkley and the Bills' offense to do what they did. And that came with competent offensive line play.
That's how it starts.
It started, and this has been something we have all been saying.
There's...
For the love of God, why was Vlad Dukas the starter for this long?
Yeah.
He was on the right side last year, mostly because of injury to John Miller. And he started on the left side this year because, well, Richie Incognito decided to go bonkers. You're seeing why the man is not even replacement level. And you saw what happened when you had someone who could be better than replacement level
mm-hmm.
on the offensive line.
Mm-hmm.
You got a better run-blocking group as a whole, as a core. The man put someone on a pancake, the third offensive play of the game.
Something that he was, Wyatt Teller was known for in college.
He did rather well in pass pro.
Was that.
He did rather well in pass pro. He's a bulldozer in the run game. I was always questioning why the guy was a fifth-round pick when I was looking at the tape.
Yeah.
And you're seeing more of it here. I would like to see what he can do against a more talented Jaguars defensive line. Because let's be real about something. The Jets, they don't have a pass rush. They have Leonard Williams, who's a stud, but they don't have a pass rush.
Mm-hmm.
You want to get after Barkley or Allen or whoever the Bills put at quarterback?
Allen.
Get a pass rusher.
It'll definitely be Allen.
It'll be Allen. What I'm saying is, you know, in case of it's, injury or whatever, or you want to put any of these four quarterbacks in, think about it. Barkley and Peterman are the only ones that haven't been hurt.
Yeah.
This year, and I'm counting the preseason. Three of the five quarterbacks you put under center got injured. We still would have ended up on Matt Barkley if A.J. McCarron was still here. Because McCarron would have gotten knocked out.
Oh, yeah.
Anderson got knocked out.
Yep.
Allen got knocked out.
Yep.
Peterman throws interceptions enough that he doesn't get knocked out.
Peterman knocks himself up by throwing interceptions.
So you see what happens when you actually have a line blocking for you. There were several times where Barkley was able to climb the pocket. The touchdown to Zay Jones in particular.
Yep. Yep,
he's able to climb it, feel the pressure, and step up.
Step up, yeah.
How often has a quarterback in this team this year been able to step up? Vlad Dukas gets put on roller skates sometimes. Ryan Groy was an absolute flop.
Yep.
And it happens. You thought your answers were within your roster. Funny enough how the one person that you brought in from the draft,
mm-hmm.
looks like a difference. I think the Bills have something there.
I think so.
Because he looked promising against the Bears, and that's a good defensive line.
Yep.
And he looked good against the Jets. Wyatt Teller looks like he's going to be something here for... You talk about Bills starters that you want to carry over to the next year, you might have a fourth.
Mm-hmm.
Wyatt Teller joins Deion Dawkins, Zay Jones, and Josh Allen.
Yep. Yeah, absolutely.
It's fantastic to see that.
There's obviously still some... You still want to...
I want to see him against the Jags.
Yeah, but
I want to see him against Ngakoue. I want to see him against Calais Campbell.
I want to see him against these studs. You want to see more out of Teller.
Do they still have Marshall Darius there?
Yes.
I definitely want to see him against Marcell Dareus.
Yes, he's still there. But also what I'm saying is they still need to fix it up still. But
right side still needs work.
The right side needs work. And you should probably get a new center, honestly.
Yes.
But
Russell Bodine has at least looked steady in a couple of games.
Yes.
Steadier than Groy has been.
But Teller... Looking good to start.
It's promising.
It's promising, and I think you're right. It does show that Bean and McDermott can find offensive talents. Now it's a matter of doing it more often.
Can you get more of it? Because we need it.
Mm-hmm. I could totally see them. I just mentioned drafting getting a new center to, you know, because there's no way they go with Bodine as a starter. Even though he's been steady, I think he's been steady enough to where he's still not one where you feel confident starting him in 16 games.
But at least he's not pooping his pants every game.
But he's not pooping his pants. So I'm fine with Bodine being a backup guy.
He's what we'd call replacement level.
Yeah, he is replacement level. I want to see the Bills draft a center. Get we'll another that, younger yeah. guy in the mix with a young quarterback. Have like that kind of combination.
I think it's high time we go ahead and talk to some of our guys over at the Draft Network, okay?
Yeah. Yeah.
All right. So there were so many things, though, that went well for this game. And you can't explain it because so many problems. 212 yards rushing.
Mm-hmm.
McCoy gets over 100. Easily his best game of the year. Two touchdowns, including an impressive 28-yarder
yep.
on the second play of the game.
Yep.
Marcus Murphy turns in a nice day with 69 yards. You had only two active running backs in this game. Chris yep. Ivory against his old team, that would have been a great little revenge game the way that they were playing.
Yeah.
He probably would have had one. This game was just all sorts of weird.
It was...
And yet, in a game that was almost perfect, you could find one glaring problem in that game.
What's that?
Kelvin Benjamin.
Still garbage.
I don't know how you managed to be that kind of person with the pedigree and the statistics in this league that you managed to actually be a problem in a 41-10 win. Get him off the team. We've been saying it for a while, but get him off this freaking team. The sooner the better. I'm happy that this man's contract is up because I don't want to see him anymore.
Yeah, he'll be gone.
In the end zone, in the end zone, he dropped a contested catch again, which is supposed to be his strength. And then you saw Robert Foster turn around and do what he does.
Mm-hmm.
Deep ball, finds positioning, contested. High points the ball, gets the catch.
Yep.
And everyone's just like, why is Kelvin still here? A ball's deflected. He doesn't even try to catch it when it's well within his range. The touchdown to Zay Jones. Benjamin's kind of like slogging his route behind him because they ran a levels concept where each of them did an in route into the end zone toward the center. Kelvin Benjamin just needs to go. He needs to go yesterday. Why couldn't he Vontae Davis at this team? I am sick of him at this point. Three targets, no catches. At least Terrell Pryor brings like a positive mindset along with him for not having a catch yesterday, which I was a little disappointed about. I would have loved to see him get a score against his old team. Barkley targeted him in the end zone on that one play toward the corner. Pryor ended up getting tangled in someone's feet and fell over. Mm-hmm. And I was like, oh my God, I would have loved to see that celebration. Because that would have been epic. Yesterday's the kind of game, like if Pryor was having a good game, I feel like he jokingly goes over to the sideline and talks to his old teammates. Because Pryor's not below that, and I would have loved to see it.
That would have been
that would have been a petty war kind of thing, and I would have just been all for it.
Yeah.
So I'm a little sad that Pryor couldn't get anything going there. But he didn't look terrible. His block sprung McCoy on the first touchdown.
Yep.
He at least put some sort of effort into it. I'm just sick of Benjamin at this point. Get him out of here. Go away forever, please. Go sign somewhere else, and you can go disappoint their fans. You hate Cam Newton? Well, Cam's having the best season of his career without you. Again. Maybe it's you that's the problem. The Bills are a strange group, really. And I found the bad part. And we'll talk about the other one now. You asked, when does the day of reckoning finally come? for Nathan Peterman. And my answer to that is, I really don't freaking care. The real answer is when Anderson and Allen are both healthy, because you're not rostering four quarterbacks.
Does it have to be Anderson and Allen, though?
Yes. Because an injury to Allen / Barkley means Peterman's back as a backup. It has to be both.
Okay.
It has to be both, and that's when it's done. They have 2 weeks for Allen to recover from concussion protocol. But concussions are tricky. Maybe Anderson's like, I'm done, man. You told me I wasn't going to have to play, and I got my lights taken out. I'm not stepping on the field this year, man. Forget it. I'm not even going to be the backup anymore. I'm done. I'll be the third quarterback, but I ain't doing anything else. That's probably what Derek Anderson's mindset is, and I wouldn't blame him. He was signed to be brought in as a mentor. He was not signed to have to do what he did against New England and then take that hit he did against New England. That was a pop. I knew it the minute it happened that the dude had a concussion.
Right.
He was holding his arm, and guess what? As someone that's gotten a concussion before, that sometimes happens. You end up holding your arm because you're out of sorts. That's what happened to Matt Milano yesterday.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Milano was holding his arm. He ended up in the 10. He had a head injury. Anderson's just probably like, nah, man. That ain't it, Chief. I'm going to be the third quarterback, I think. You just need to give me some time here. He'll have plenty of time to recover from this. And if he does, he does. If he doesn't, Peterman will remain on the roster for the rest of the year as the third quarterback, where he should be. Because let's be real about something. Yeah, some of this is Nathan Peterman's fault, but the Bills broke this man. Nathan Peterman doesn't have the requisite arm strength, and we've seen that. But that doesn't mean that the Bills didn't break him. They broke him the minute they put him in the starting lineup against Los Angeles. They broke him the minute that first pass off of Pat, well, the second pass of his career goes off of Pat DeMarco's hands and goes six the other way. That was it. After that, it was over. Because what did he do on the first play against LA? Slant pattern, Benjamin, middle of the field. We're just like, oh my God. And then Benjamin's knee gets taken out.
Benjamin gets hurt.
And then the next pass goes off of DeMarco and it goes the other way for six.
Yeah.
And then four interceptions later, we're like, oh my God, can this actually get worse? Remember when they made a hype video for him in week one as the starter? Those were good times. And now half a season later, you want him off the team. Hell, the second week of the season, everyone wanted him off the team. And I think the real answer is when Anderson is healthy. Because Josh Allen's there. I think he's there. They wanted to give him one more week, and I knew that was the good call. That was the right call. Did we expect this out of Matt Barkley? No, but when they made the decision, it was already set. That was the final stone cast for Nathan Peterman and his fate.
Mm-hmm.
That right there was the moment. Because when you make that decision to bring in a second street free agent and start that person over him, that tells you he's played his way off the roster officially. And I think I hate to say this, but I really think the team responded in kind.
Yeah.
Derek Anderson, his problem is that he's still Derek Anderson. He's never going to do anything great for you, especially at the age that he was at. Not that Matt Barkley is anything better, but he at least has some youth. He still has some form of promise. Man, he showed it. But let's not go ahead and say that Matt Barkley torched him either. He showed basic competency at the quarterback position. And basic competency with what this team is comprised of can get you places.
You want to hear something really awesome.
What do you got?
UB men's basketball is in the top 25.
We all knew that was coming.
We all knew it was coming.
The minute they beat West Virginia,
yep,
it was in. It's, but now it's on official. And popping.
Now it's official. They're ranked 25th.
You hacks. You couldn't bring them to like 22 or 23. Get the hell out of here.
The funny thing is,
that was almost like it was a requisite for them. Like,
the funny thing is, though,
they beat a team in the top 25. I guess we have to do it.
The funny thing is, though, West Virginia is knocked out of it. Well, out of the top 25.
That was something that could have happened.
I know. It's like, it's just, it's funny to actually see it.
And here's the thing. This is the beginning of something special. West Virginia will be back in the top 25 because UB is not going to be seen as a bad loss.
Yeah.
When they go back at the end of the year and they look at everything for where to seed these teams, West Virginia is not going to have UB count against them.
Yeah.
And I hope the classes that they've got coming in can double up on what's going on here, because the Bulls have a lot of seniors now. I want to see this team get to the Sweet 16. Will I expect it? No. Because the NCAA March Madness brackets are always a pain in the ass.
Mm-hmm.
Hell, last year UB had to go through Arizona and Kentucky.
Mm-hmm.
I don't even think that you could do harder than that. Well, Arizona laid down for you, but still. They gave you the fourth-ranked team.
Duke.
Yeah. Yeah, they could go ahead and try to
face North Carolina.
Yeah, unless they pit you with Duke and North Carolina.
They could face Kentucky again.
Again, I don't know if there's a worse buzzsaw that the schedule makers could give them than what they got last year. That's why I'm hoping for a Sweet 16 bid. If you can get out of the round for 32, you can get out of the first weekend. That is more than a success for a mid-major.
Mm-hmm.
And if they can hit on baskets, because even Nate Oates has said, we're not shooting all that well. Well, you live by the three, you die by the three sometimes. And they almost died by it against West Virginia. But then C.J. Massenburg did the thing. 43 points. Is he about to show the country what he's all about? I hope so, because that'll be awesome.
Yeah, it would be.
UB football, 29th. No, not 29th. They got 29 votes in the AP poll.
Yep.
They've got 53 votes in the coaches poll. The coaches are recognizing.
56.
Oh, I thought it was 53. So 56. The coaches are recognizing UB footballs for real, too.
Yep.
So good for this school right now that everything is just falling the way that it should, the way that they're putting these teams together. And
then with the women's team, too. Women's basketball.
Women's basketball. They had themselves their first game of the weekend, right?
Yep.
Did they take that?
They did.
Of course they did, because they're that good.
Yep.
Felicia Leggett-Jack will make you run through a damn wall. That woman is sassy, and she can get you going. And I love it. Big Felicia Leggett-Jack fan over here. UB is doing well. We got the first complete sweep of a weekend, Frank.
We did.
And it didn't come without any drama, of course. UB had to force overtime for their men's team. And the Sabres had to come back not once, but twice last week. They go 6-5 in a shot-for-shot Rochambeau-style game against the Canadiens. And then they're down 3-1 with 3 minutes left. And what do they do? Oh.
Two goals
within a minute 47. We got this.
And then win it in a shootout.
And then win it in a shootout, which has been their problem for more than even 3 years.
Yep.
It's been just a problem for them.
Pretty much since Miller was traded.
Probably since Aleš Kotelík left.
More so Miller, because he was always...
But you couldn't get any goals. This team could never get shootout goals.
Yeah.
The minute Vanek was gone and Kotelík was gone, you couldn't win a damn shootout.
Well, Kotelik left in, what was it, 2009?
And then Vanek after that, shortly.
No, it wasn't.
Not shortly, but like a couple years later.
Still a few years.
A couple years later, I call shortly.
It was like, what, 2013? Yeah, Vanek was traded.
That's still 5 years ago now.
I know, that's still 5 years ago, but that's 4 years. That's 4 years in between those two leaving.
Yeah, but Kotelik was almost an automatic.
Yeah, Kotelik was always, because he was always money. Yeah.
Yeah. He was a third line guy, but he was always automatic.
Yeah.
In the shootout. Vanek was almost as automatic, but he also gave you the first line production that you can get from him.
Yeah.
Even Jack Eichel, a man who's had problems with the shootout in his career. You're going first, dog. Okay, cool. I know I've got this quality shot. I'm going to use it. Bam. Beats Markstrom true.
Yep.
You know what's really cool?
Mittelstadt's got hands.
Being in that corner for those goals.
Oh, that's where you were sitting?
That's where I was sitting.
Wow.
I got all three Sabres goals.
Oh, yeah, you did.
I got the one in the first period.
Where were you sitting exactly? Like, how many mirror grows up?
10.
That's not bad.
Yeah. But, like, being in that corner, getting probably the best angle of where they were shooting.
Yeah.
And then you see that first goal. That was a nice goal. You see Skinner's goal. Great pass from Rhino behind the net.
Mm-hmm.
And then Reinhart goes ahead and just... Ristolainen's been up and down this season, but he had an up moment on that goal. Great breakout by Dahlin.
Ristolainen recognizing knew. a line change.
My God, he is so good.
Risto takes that pass, gets in, just puts one on net that Markstrom lazily just bats away, and it ends up going right on Reinhardt's stick, and he just puts it in.
Ristolainen kept that shot low.
Yeah. You did everything you were supposed to.
And to the fact, but he had enough velocity on it that Markstrom had to do something with it. He put it low. If he fires that thing into the chest, or he fires it wide, you're not getting that goal.
Yeah, no. Yeah,
I wouldn't say game over yet, but like that goal doesn't happen.
Yeah, you do what you were supposed to, because you also got to look at too. Right, Risto had a Canucks player bearing down on him, mm-hmm. so he didn't have time to even wind up or anything. He just had to get rid of it.
He knew he had to keep that shot
low,
though.
And he did the
right
thing of getting rid of it on the net. That's all he did.
Net, low, make Markstrom do something with it. He didn't go ahead and put it same side. He went far side with that so that Markstrom had to make a play on it.
Let's be fair, Markstrom lazily did that. Markstrom was lazy.
The shot was lazy.
But Markstrom, with that save, was also lazy because... Realistically, you can keep that in one. You can keep that in front of you, and two, you can put that somewhere else.
Yeah,
Markstrom didn't do any of that, and he ends up putting it right on Reinhardt's stick.
And that's, by the way, that's hustle. Reinhardt got there. Reinhardt got there for a reason.
Yeah.
Reinhardt got that goal because he beat the Canucks players there.
That's why it was when you were able to catch a team on line change.
Rasmus Dahlin.
Dahlin starts it.
Only 18.
Yeah.
Let's remember that.
Yep. 2 points.
2 points.
2 assists.
He had assists on the first one where Oposo made the nastiest pass.
That was a great pass.
To Nathan Beaulieu crashing the net.
It wasn't even Beaulieu crashing the net.
Oh, he crashed the net.
Well, he did earlier in the play. He just stayed there.
What he did was he ended up at the half wall and then came back. Oposo sees it. And just beelines that pass right to him.
I saw
Beaulieu. Anytime you end up in the paint, I'm calling that crash in the net.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Like, oh, yeah.
He crashed the net, fine. Dog.
But the way I saw it was Dahlin made a pass to Beaulieu. Beaulieu comes in around the half wall, takes a shot. It goes,
goes wide.
And then he stayed where he was, path. Which was towards the net. Oposo gets the puck. Beaulieu doesn't come back. He stayed up, and bam, perfect pass.
You know what I call that? He crashed the net. He ended up in the blue paint. He crashed the freaking net, Frank. Just say it the All way right. it was said. He crashed the net.
You call it crash the net.
Don't make it longer than it needed to be. He crashed the freaking net. Oposo made that pass from the point because Beaulieu crashed the net.
I'll call it offensive awareness.
I will call it he crashed the net. because of another four.
You know who I like to break down plays more?
I'm just saying what it was. He crashed the net. His skates ended up near the blue paint. That is crashing the net. Why are we fighting right now? I'm giving you an unequivocal fact. You jerk.
I'm also giving you facts.
Yes, but you didn't need to explain it that way.
Well, I want to, because that's what I like to do.
What did he do on that play, Frank? Where did he end up? Where did he end up? Where did he end up?
I'm not talking about this anymore.
I'm just being petty now.
Yes, I know you are. We have a hockey game tonight.
Nobody cares about that.
I know.
I don't even care to talk about that. Last time we played this team, I got kicked with a skate. I'm kind of not looking forward to it.
I got your back.
That's great. I don't want to get kicked again. I didn't even do anything wrong.
Do you want to do pick'ems now?
Sure.
Okay.
You know what? Before we do the pick'ems.
Okay.
Get it ready and everything, but...
This
Sabres team has proven something, though. You cannot leave a building when they're down by two goals.
Yeah.
A lot of people
wait till the end of the game.
A lot of people made a mistake yesterday. Not yesterday, 2 days ago.
It's wait till the end.
This team could come back from two goals because they're good. People need to be reminded of this. They are good.
Mm-hmm.
They have talent. They score goals.
And the next month of this season.
This is a test.
It's a huge test.
Starts with Tampa. Here we go.
You got to play Tampa twice, Philly twice. You got to play Winnipeg.
Philly doesn't scare me. You could score goals on Philly. That works right to the Sabres to me.
They could score goals on
you. They could score goals. So can Montreal.
Yeah.
Somehow.
And you got to play them again.
Hey, bring it.
Minnesota.
Pittsburgh.
Just,
you know who else
Toronto,
scores goals?
Nashville.
You know who else scores goals?
All those teams.
Vancouver.
Yeah.
Vancouver scores a lot of goals.
Yeah.
And you beat them.
Yeah.
If the Sabres play their game, there's nothing I can genuinely they cannot do.
So here's the thing. When I was looking at the next 13 games, I told myself, if they win seven, just seven.
Half of it?
Just above half. I think they're for real.
If they win seven, we're talking playoffs.
Yes. For real.
I'm intrigued to see what they do with Tampa.
And even in the losses. If those losses are good, close games.
You get points from some of those losses?
And you get some pity points? Absolutely. Like, if they go 7-4-2 over these next 13 games, they're for real. That's for real.
Hell, give me 6-4-3.
Yeah. Yeah. 6-4-3.
Because two OT losses is another
two
points.
Yeah, it's two. Yeah.
Just make sure you can close some things out at regulation. Get there.
I'm hoping they can split against Tampa and Philly.
By the way, hang on. One real quick about that Canucks game, by the way. I've never seen a more necessary tripping penalty in my life than what Jeff
Patterson,
Skinner had to do.
Yeah, in OT. Yeah, that was a...
Casey Mittelstadt's promising and a fantastic player, and he got the last say of all of it.
Yeah.
But holy crap, am I jealous of Elias Pettersson and the Vancouver Canucks for having him.
One pick.
F you guys.
One pick.
Yeah, one.
Pettersson went seven.
Oh, my God.
Pettersson went seven. Mittelstadt went eight.
Again, Casey Mittelstadt's fine. Do
oh, I love
not him. Get me wrong.
Yeah.
But dear God, if they had Pettersson. Oh, my God. Pettersson's got the collar locked up already. And we have Rasmus Dahlin in this. Pettersson's got it on lock. The dude put all four Sabres in trouble the minute he put that puck to his skate. And Jeff Skinner just went, foot! Like, he skated right to the penalty box. He's like, I know what I had to do. I'm not taking it back.
Yeah.
Sometimes you have
to take a penalty.
That was the loss. If he doesn't do it.
Yeah.
And it was totally a panic move.
Yeah. Sometimes you have to. It's a good penalty to take.
But it was wholly necessary for that to happen. Like, there were fans booing at the arena, and I'm like, no, that had to happen. There's no way around that. He had to take the tripping call. Do not blame the refs on that one. They had to do it.
It was the right call.
It was the right call by Skinner. Forget the refs.
Yeah.
It was the right call by Skinner. He had no choice.
Yeah.
Elias Pettersson is too good for a rookie. I'm excited to see what he does. He is the biggest reason they are the leading team right now in the Pacific. And the Canucks, they have a good one. They have Brock Besser. They have Elias Pettersson. Elias Pettersson may have saved Jim Benning's career.
Maybe.
Probably.
We'll see.
They have all great teams have what, Frank?
Top centers.
A strong duo.
Yep.
What does Vancouver have? Besser Pettersson.
Yep.
Anaheim, when they've always been good, Getzlaf Perry. Boston. They have a trio. Tampa, Stamkos, Kucherov.
Yep.
The great teams have duos.
Hang on.
Washington.
Yeah, Ovi.
For the longest time, Ovi Backstrom.
Yeah.
And then they added Kuznetsov to it.
Hang on. Buffalo's got that too. Michael Skinner. If he stays,
Buffalo's got a duo.
And potential trio. Put Mittelstadt in there.
Exactly.
And that's just forwards.
Yeah,
Blackhawks. Blackhawks, I mean, Taves Kane.
Taves Kane for the longest time.
Yeah.
Penguins, Crosby, Malkin.
Yep.
The Vancouver Canucks have a duo. They're going to be fun to watch for a long time.
I don't think they're going to maintain this the whole year.
No.
They're going to drop off at
some point. Their goaltending is not good enough.
It's not. And I think they want to see what Demko can be.
Exactly.
He's their future. But Vancouver,
in the coming years, Vancouver's back.
Oh yeah, they'll be back. They could be back as soon as next year.
Mm-hmm.
If they get another good player in the draft, I got to see what more of this draft is like. Obviously, we know Jack Hughes is likely the number one overall pick,
and he likely goes to a team like Colorado. I mean, because Ottawa's falling apart. Ottawa's scoring goals, by the way.
They're scoring.
You look at their goal totals.
Yeah,
they're hanging around with like Buffalo and Montreal.
Yeah,
their goals against is the worst in the league, mm-hmm, by a lot. Does that help that they gave up a 9 spot to Buffalo? No, but they still have the most goals allowed in the league.
Yeah,
I think they're threatening near 70 goals against now, and the next closest team is
Ottawa's second in goals. Second overall.
Yeah, they're scoring goals.
They have 62.
But what's their goals against looking like?
76.
Mother of God. They're threatening 80 already?
You know who's got the second worst?
Hmm.
Chicago, 64.
That's what you get when you have Cam Ward.
But think about that. That's the gap between 31 and 30.
Ew. 76 to 64?
Yeah.
Woof. You take the Sabres 9-gamer out of there. And
maybe it's three, and it's three. Still 70.
And one of those teams has Cam Ward.
One that's not in dead last.
Have I mentioned that the Blackhawks have Cam Ward?
No, you haven't. Meanwhile, Buffalo is just right in the middle of the pack.
But they're hanging around with the trend.
Yeah.
Which is cool. Goals are up. Sabres are hanging around.
Yep.
What do we get most weeks with the Bills? With a record pace in scoring, the Bills are just hanging around and bringing the whole thing down.
Yeah. Yeah. Except yesterday.
Yesterday was just a makeup to try to get back to normal. Funny thing is, with that Bills game, you take their entire total and you sprinkle it around, it only adds 4 points to each game previous.
Huh.
And they're back at their average.
Ha.
So I think what the Bills did was they upped their average about 3 points per game. That's how bad they've been.
Yeah.
All right, Frank.
Pickles?
How disastrous did I do last week?
So.
It didn't get off to a good start. I picked the Panthers.
Yeah. We obviously both had the Jets.
Yep, there we go. We're already 0 for 2. Damn it.
Well, I'm 1 for 1 because I picked Pittsburgh.
All right, so I was already 0-2. Damn it.
Yeah. Heading into tonight's game, which is Giants-Niners.
Get Nick hyped.
Mullins. Yes, for Nick Mullins, sure. I have 4 wrong.
Good for you.
You have 6.
There's teams on bye. That's not 16 you games.
Yeah. Yeah, and if you the have Giants 6 wrong, game, 7 right.
And if the Giants somehow win a game, I go 500 for the week. Kill me.
Actually, if the Giants win, you go 6-7.
Great. Awesome. Yay.
We both obviously got the Jets wrong. We could pick the Jets. We both picked Atlanta, and they lost to Cleveland.
Cleveland, reasons. Forever screw me.
We both picked New England.
Nice job, Pats.
They lost to Tennessee. Great. We both also picked Philly.
Nice Dallas. Really? You guys lost to Dallas. Now you don't deserve the playoffs. Get out of here.
And you picked Tampa to beat Washington.
In my defense, the Redskins still haven't beaten anyone.
And that still remains true today.
Tampa put up over 400 yards.
3 points.
That is a stupid loss.
Mm-hmm. How do you? They put up 400 yards and 3 points.
You're not finishing drives. You know what that tells me? That's a Fitz tragedy.
Yeah. All right, let's go week 11. Bills are on a bye this week, so we don't got to worry about that.
Yay.
The Thursday night game is Seattle-Green Bay. It's in Seattle.
So which of these teams is getting blown out because of the Thursday game?
I'm taking Seattle.
I'm going to take Green Bay.
And it's Aaron Rodgers.
Aaron Rodgers against Seattle in the regular season tends to do okay.
Yeah.
So I think they'll be fine.
All right. Dallas, Atlanta. We're going Falcons.
I'm not willingly picking the Cowboys. Go to hell.
So Dallas is winning.
Probably.
Atlanta's also got a really bad defense.
No, they have a really injured defense. Good news. The Cowboys aren't a good offense.
True. All right. Carolina, Detroit.
Carolina.
Yeah.
The Lions showed everyone that they are not good.
Tennessee, Indy.
Give me the Colts.
I like it. I'm taking Tennessee, but I like it.
Andrew Luck has had great protection. That offensive line is fantastic. And now, if not for how well Houston's been doing, they could have been a threat to the division.
Yeah. All right. Tampa and the Giants.
Ew. I still don't know how the Giants beat Houston.
Yeah.
I'm probably thinking they're going 1-15. Give me whoever they play on a weekly basis.
So that we'll have a Fitzmagic game.
It could be a Fitztragic game. Eli Manning's on the other side.
It's true. That's true, yeah. Taking Tampa. All right, Houston and Washington.
Houston. Washington still hasn't played anyone. And guess what Houston is? Something.
Something. Steelers-Jags. Is this a revenge game?
Jacksonville's a mess.
Yeah.
Give me
Pittsburgh's
the Steelers.
1-5 straight. Yeah, I'm taking Pittsburgh, too.
Yeah, Pittsburgh went ahead and said, oh, Bengals, that was an adorable little run you had to start the season. That division belongs to us.
Oh, speaking of the Bengals, they play Baltimore.
Give me the Bengals.
Yeah.
I think they're overall just a better team.
Baltimore's kind of been free-falling.
And Cincy got humbled against the Saints, the best team in the NFL.
Yeah.
How unfair is New Orleans?
Pretty unfair. All right. Cardinals, Raiders.
What?
Ultimate tank ball right here. Pretty much. I'm going to take the Cardinals just because you can never pick John Gruden to win a football game.
What breaks in this game, Frank? The Cardinals' last-ranked offense? or the Steelers' last-ranked defense? Which one goes up a notch? I'm picking the Cardinals' last-ranked offense to actually do something. And here's my rank of order of what I would pick for this game. Cardinals, tie. Cardinals again, maybe Oakland. That's how I'd rank my picks of that game. Hang on. Cardinals, tie, the over, the under, Raiders.
Okay. I agree with that. Wholeheartedly. Denver and Chargers. Chargers are on the road again.
Chargers. They're always on the road.
Yeah, exactly. It's actually a home game for them.
They're unflappable on the road. It's okay.
Yeah.
Also, Denver's a mess.
Chargers are really good on the road this year, aren't they? 7-2.
Damn.
To be fair, though, the Chargers are 7-2 this year.
Really?
Yeah.
No one's silently 7-2.
Yeah, no one's talking about them.
Because the Chiefs are just...
The Chiefs. Ugh. The over.
The over. They didn't hit the over, actually, in that last game, did they?
I don't think so. I don't know.
Look at that.
Oh, hey. Eagles, Saints.
Saints.
Sorry, Philly.
Sorry, Philly. You're about to get steamrolled.
Yeah. Vikings, Bears.
That should be a good one. I'm taking the Bears.
This is going to be a good one. Yeah, I'm taking Chicago, too.
I'm taking the Bears because that pass rush, that defense, and Mitchie Biscuits looks Mitchie for Biscuits. Real.
Yeah.
Everyone laughed at the pick, and I'm guessing. What a nice quarterback class, by the way, for the first round. Trubisky's coming into his own.
Yep.
Watson's back and healthy and kind of doing his thing again. And
Mahomes is the destroyer of worlds.
And Patrick Mahomes got a hold of Michael's secret stuff. That's a Space Jam reference for those that didn't pick it up.
Good reference. And now, the Monday Nighter.
Please tell me the atrocity that we got this week.
No.
Oh?
This is the Monday Nighter to end all Monday Nighters.
Rams, Chiefs, it's week 11 in Mexico City.
Yep.
This is a tough one.
I'm taking the Chiefs.
I'm taking the Rams.
I love it that you went the Rams and I went the Chiefs.
This is a hard one.
Yes, it is.
This is a really hard game and everyone better enjoy it.
You want to hear the line? Because it's up on ESPN right now.
Please tell me it's like 65.
The line right now is Rams minus 2. The over-under, 63.5.
Yes!
And by the way, take the over.
Yeah. This is going to be 45-41.
This legit can be that.
Both defenses are not good despite the talent that's on the Rams side.
Even if the Rams defense shows up, they're still probably allowing 35.
Goff, Gurley, Woods, Cooks versus Mahomes. Hunt.
By the way, though, Hill.
Holy crap. Speaking
with the Rams, Cooper Kupp's out for the year.
Out for the year, torn ACL, but they still have.
But they still have the weapons, yes.
Kupp missed a couple games this year already.
I know he did. He's on one of my fantasy teams.
They didn't miss a beat. Find whoever the third receiver is in. I almost said St. Louis. In the Rams.
And Adam.
Depth chart, Adam in fantasy. Because there's about to be something there.
Yep.
Wow. That's going to be a great Monday Nighter. Holy crap. All right. So, Bills are off this week. But, UB plays again Tuesday with a chance to clinch their division. The Sabres have the Lightning and the Jets. Whew. Oh, boy.
Mm-hmm.
That's going to be a rough one. We're going to see some elite goal scorers. And the Lightning and the Jets. So, here we go. And you also get your Sunday off from the typical misery that is the Bills.
At least they went into the bye week on a high note.
They went on the bye week in the highest of notes.
Exactly.
All right. Cut Kelvin Benjamin. Thanks for listening to Leftovers Podcast. Derek Kramer.
Frank R. Curry.
And you've been listening on demand on WGR550.com, the radio.com app. We appreciate you always for hearing our idiocy every week, twice a week sometimes, for those that are brave and stupid. But, hey, get out there. Check out some stuff. UB, basketball season now in full swing. They take on Southern Illinois, actually, tonight. Try to go to 3-0 on the season. And they better, because they just got a top 25 ranking. UB football, trying to get into the top 25. They're threatening. UB women, you already know what they're going to do. And they're just going to drop all the points on them. And the Sabres, getting 2 games before our next podcast. Do they play Saturday as well?
I believe so.
We are not recording on Friday. We are not giving you the leftovers on Friday because I have to be on the actual radio, on the airwaves, for our guys there on WGR. I'll be with Joe DiBiase from 10 to 3. You have to put up with me for 5 hours.
Ugh.
So,
Up with Derek for 5 hours.
Yep.
Ugh.
Joe's going to have to put up with me for 5 hours. That's not easy.
Yeah, that's true. However, we will be back
probably Sunday.
Sunday. The bye week, you know. Yep. No Bills stuff going on.
No Bills stuff. We can just
come back Sunday, and then we'll go back to regular schedule Monday.
So we got back-to-back
podcasts.
Consecutive pods.
Yeah.
That's going to be weird.
Yeah.
Thanks for listening.
And to answer your question, by the way, Tuesday, Friday, Saturday.
All right. Tuesday, Friday, Saturday?
Yeah.
Oh, it's Thursday for the Jets.
No, it's Friday.
All right, interesting. All right, thanks for listening. Cut Kelvin Benjamin.